Welcome to 222 Paranormal Podcast. With your host, Jen and Joe.
Shoddy's in the house.
In the house.
Shoddy's in the house. Joe, I have to tell you something.
What now?
Very important.
Okay.
Everybody listen.
All right.
It's officially October. And you know what that means? Two things. One, it's the best time of the year.
Is it?
It's the most exciting, spooky time of the year. And it's your birthday month.
Birthday month, whoop, which means it's an expensive month for me. I went over to State Farm and paid my house insurance.
Oh, goodness.
Have to, at the end of the month, go into the DMV and get license plates.
Oh, joy.
Yeah. Well, at least I only have two vehicles now. I got the car and the trailer.
Yeah.
So that's not too bad.
Yeah, but celebrate your birthday month. We're going to celebrate all month long with the 222 1026.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
What are you going to tell me?
I want to tell you about what happened last night.
Did something happen again?
Yes. It was weird. Okay, so you guys know I always like to update on my ghost situation in his house. In my little house. So I was asleep last night and I just had that weird feeling. You know that feeling where you just like something's watching you or something, somebody's too close and you know, you get that tingly feeling.
I have that every night. I look out the window and there's a squirrel standing there staring at me.
Joe's and his squalls. So I woke up and I was like in that half asleep, half awake, but then I was awake and it was probably about 4:30 and it felt like somebody's hand was on my back. But it was weird. It also felt like somebody's head was up against my back and I can't even describe it. It was warm. It felt round. It was between my shoulder blades. So it was just the weirdest feeling and I was just laying there because it was like, it just felt like somebody was like either up against me or touching me or I don't know. It was just so bizarre. And then I pretended I was asleep because I was like, if there's a ghost standing here, I want them to think I'm sleeping and they'll go away. But yeah, it was weird. And then I woke up a little bit after that or, you know, kind of opened my eyes and look around and I saw my own shadow and I jumped. I was so scared. But anyways, yeah, just jumping at my own shadows now. That's great.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Instead of the shadow people. Oh, I did see a shadow figure. And I had a witness. I had two witnesses. A couple of weeks ago, you know, we were at the Collingwood Art Center.
Yeah, I want to mention that too. So,
and I went in the basement with Nadine's friend, Tammy, and somebody else. And I can't remember who it was. The guy with the overalls. I can't remember his name. That has a podcast. Know. Sorry, guy. That's so bad with names. I can remember numbers, not names. So anyways, we look and this shadow, I mean, I saw it more than once. I saw it when I was down there by myself. We saw it twice, but we all saw it at the same time. And this thing walked across the floor quickly, but not like, it wasn't a zip. It was like a swoosh. And it was, we all went, oh my God, did you just see that? All at the same time. And there was nobody else down there. It was just us.
Yeah, because it was early in the morning and
yeah,
nobody like, showed up yet for the
It was
convention.
Early. It was like 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, just another exciting day of ghost hunting. And we weren't even ghost hunting. We were just checking it out,
yeah.
You know. But I did have my spirit box on. At one point, I was down there by myself, which was probably a bad idea because you probably shouldn't go to these, you know, spooky basements by yourself.
Yeah.
There was a guy, I think there were two guys. They were kind of like scoping out for film shots up in the staircase, though.
Okay.
But they weren't in the basement part where I was, but I could see them, you know, in case I had to run screaming. And I had the SB7 going and it says, don't be afraid. I mean, clear as day.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. And then it said, you little C word. I mean, clear, like a whole sentence. And I'm like, okay, first of all, you wouldn't hear that. If that was just radio interference, you can't say that word on the radio, right? The FCC would, you know, be coming down on you. But so, yeah, it was bizarre because at first it was like, don't be scared. And I was like, oh, okay. And then it said, you little blink. And I was like, oh my God. I wish I would have had my recorder on.
Yes,
record. But I was just messing around, you know. I was just checking it out before everybody got there and down there. But amazing.
I got to meet a guy that we talked to on Facebook, Scott. I'm not going to say his last name in case he needs the privacy.
Oh.
But yes, met Scott, and him and his nephew did the ghost hunt. And I told him, I said, make sure you go in the apartment. And I'm not going to tell you what happens up in the apartment, but just go up there. And he said he couldn't find it.
Oh, it might have been blocked off.
It could have been.
They don't let people. I don't think they let anybody in the attic anymore.
Well, yeah, you got to go through the elevator.
Oh, but, yeah. I forgot you could go that way.
But he did say he had some excitement, I believe, in the basement and that, but I didn't get a chance to talk to him that much
because
we've been so busy this week.
Josh and I went down there. Josh from Haunted Toledo and I, we just went down there just to snoop around because he had never been in the basement. He's like, this place is creepy. And I'm like, yeah. So we went over by the room, you know, and we heard I won't say a huff, but like an exhaled breath, like that. And I mean, it wasn't like, there's no wind going in there because there's no windows.
Yeah, there's
right?
no windows.
There was
down.
No, there's no like blowing wind or ventilation. And it was loud. And there was nobody down there but us. And it's just like, we just looked at each other like, okay. And then we heard a little bit of a growl, not in that area, but just a little bit over where I had seen the shadow.
Yeah.
And the creepy feeling. I think if we would have stayed there a little bit longer, we probably would have got a little bit more. I was expecting it to come out and slap him like it did Grizzly. But so, you know, that place never disappoints.
No.
Oh my God, it's so amazing.
I didn't walk around all day.
What?
I know. I don't know why.
I didn't go upstairs. I only went up to where the theater was. I didn't go on the other levels.
Yeah, I didn't go anywhere.
Or the balcony, I mean.
I didn't go upstairs anywhere.
We didn't have time. We were very busy.
I know. We get there, and the whole plan was to get there, set up, go get something to eat, come back for the convention. Because the convention didn't start till 1. Next thing we know, it's 12:30.
It took forever to set up, though, all my trinkets. But no, it was great. It was great. We love that place and we always enjoy it. And, you know, Joe and I go to a ton of conferences throughout the year and we always run into really interesting and cool and exciting people. And, you know, not just people who are on shows you know, on TV and such. We meet a lot of regular people who have fascinating interviews.
We did get some good interviews with locals and people that have been on our show before, and they told us some fresh stories, so that you'll get tired of hearing us the next few weeks. It's all from that show, but it's good. They really brought out some good material for us.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I enjoy talking to everybody, right? Like, I love it. I felt bad, though. I was talking to one person. I was talking to him, talking, and I was like, I have to go to the bathroom. So I was like, I'm sorry. Hold that thought, and I had to run for the hills. But no, you know, we really enjoy being able to talk to people, from all walks of life in all paranormal situations. Mm-hmm. We have a great interview today. We met up with Aaron Sagers at Michigan Paracon.
Yeah. Michigan Paracon was a few weeks ago, but I did some editing on the show and that and got it out for us.
Yeah. You know, it was great because they put him next to us and we felt really bad because like his luggage was lost and, you know, he came in late because of some of the issues with the travel, but you know, just a really, really great guy. So interesting.
Yeah.
He's, you know, you guys seen him on many shows. He's hosted a lot of the different, mystery type shows.
Yeah. He's been on Sci-Fi Channel. He's been on the Travel Channel. He's been on the Today Show. He's been on HBO.
Yeah.
He gets around.
Yeah. He's just one of those really, really interesting cats who we enjoy talking to and envy his life of being able to travel and host shows and meet everybody. So, but, you know, nice, nice person, down to earth. And I enjoyed, you know, doing this interview with him. So
let's get in the interview. And then afterwards, we want to talk again. I know you guys are tired of hearing it, but our convention, but we want to thank a few people and put some shout outs. So Let's listen to an interview with Aaron, and we'll be right back. Michigan Paracon 2019. Where we have another special guest with
us. Yes, we do. We have the one, the only, the man of the hour, the tower of power, Aaron Zeiger. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. I like that intro. Thank you. It's like, I feel like I should be a wrestler.
I
now
saved
that
for the special guest.
Yeah, I dig it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, we always like to have special guests in the house. So, welcome to the show.
Thank
you. Know,
you. This my is first time.
Yeah.
You've not been to Michigan Paracon before?
Well, I actually have not been to Michigan Paracon, nor have I been on your show before.
Well,
have
that's,
I? I
don't, that's yeah, no, so you have not.
It's a twofer of good things. Yeah,
definitely. But it is an amazing event and amazing people here, and we're really, you know, blessed that you are able to share your story with us.
Thank you. So, yeah, I'm excited to be here.
I was looking at your bio, and it's like 8 miles long. So it looks like you've been working since you were 6 years old. No, there's a lot of things on there. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and what you're currently doing.
Yeah. Basically, I'm a journalist. Even going back further than that, I was a kid fascinated with the paranormal and also loved all things nerdy. And for me, enjoying comic books and enjoying horror movies and loving paranormal and paranormal stories, they were all one and the same. They were all like connected for me. So I became a journalist, professional journalist. And then I talked about travel and I talked about nerdy stuff. And then around 2004, I started talking about the paranormal and why this is going to be a big deal, paranormal TV, reality TV in particular. And then from there, still working as a journalist, I launched a genre called paranormal pop culture, where I talked about how entertainment, the intersection of entertainment and the paranormal, how entertainment influences the paranormal and how paranormal influences entertainment, and it's tracking trends. And then from there, started doing a lot of TV, and then I was a judge on Paranormal Challenge with Zach Bagans. I was the host and EP of Paranormal Paparazzi, based off of my paranormal pop culture site. I've been a host on Paranormal Lockdown, Evidence Revealed with Nick and Katrina, Nick Groff and Katrina Weidman, Portals to Hell, Today Show. So a lot of times people call me in to sort of give the overview of how the paranormal and how stories fit within a larger context and within entertainment.
Have you had paranormal experiences yourself, maybe on location when you're filming or hosting?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah. I mean, certainly I don't bill myself as a ghost hunter or an investigator, mm-hmm. but I certainly have been on countless investigations even before it was part of my job. Mm-hmm. But I've had a lot of weird things happen that I can't explain. For me, I tend to avoid defining things as this is a ghost or a paranormal. It's more like these are things that I currently have not been able to explain, that I have not been able to explain the phenomena. One of my favorite places is Eastern State Penitentiary, and it seems like every time I go to that place, and I go there a lot, some weird stuff happens. I've been all around the world doing this, so yeah. I've had a lot of cool, weird experiences.
Now, I saw in your bio that you were in Transylvania, and you did, was it hosting for a show?
It was myself and Dacre Stoker, who is a direct descendant of Bram Stoker, who of course wrote Dracula, and so we were running around Transylvania sort of documenting the true story of Vlad Tepes, Vlad the Impaler, but also how it connected with Bram Stoker's story. And it was really interesting because I would find myself in these like the Hoyabachu Forest, which is this supposedly haunted forest that also has all sorts of ghostly phenomenon, but also alien sightings or UFO sightings, and then other folkloric phenomena associated with it. And then you would talk to people in like Roma villages, like discussing Strigoi and Meroi and their versions of vampires and paranormal phenomena and magic and things like that. It was a wild place, and I really love Romania and Transylvania. It's really gorgeous.
Yeah, were the people there accepting of like film crews coming in and Americans?
For me, like everywhere I go, I try to be cognizant, whether it's Michigan or whether it's Transylvania, I try to be cognizant of I am a visitor. I'm a visitor on their home turf, in their land, in their town. So you try to arrive being opening and open-minded and curious and human, you know, laughing, breaking bread, asking questions. And people tend to be pretty accepting when that happens, and not just showing up at a place, shoving a camera in someone's face, but kind of making them feel comfortable before you ever turn on that camera. And once you do that, like, people tend to roll with it a little bit more. And plus, I'm like, I mean, as a nerd, you go anywhere in the world and you can talk about superheroes and Star Wars and people are into it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. It's like the universal language, yes. Star Wars,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's great. What do you like most about like traveling to do these shows?
I mean, this meeting
yeah.
people, exchanging stories. Yeah. Doing podcasts. Like, I mean, I do this because I love it,
mm-hmm.
And I am insanely curious and try to constantly be evolving with my own theories and mindset and what's going on out in the world. So, you know, sitting across from us is, you know, I'm looking at a bunch of Sasquatch,
mm-hmm.
you know, merchandise and research and theories, and there's other, like, you know, just like talking to everyone and what's their take on what's going
mm-hmm.
on out there, because none of us have the rules. There's no rule book
right.
on this. Or if it is, it hasn't been given to us yet, you know. So I like talking to people that push my ideas forward.
Yeah, definitely. What are your ideas? What do you want to do? Like, what's your goals? Do you get any, like, like, if you could, like, go out and do unlimited funds, go out and go somewhere or do something,
sure.
what would you want to do?
Well, I think that it's really important in this field to have diversity and a diversity of ideas and a diversity of people. And I think a majority of specifically the entertainment side of this world of the paranormal has been dominated by basically a Judeo-Christian ethic and by white males. And you know, and I was raised Catholic and I'm a white male, and yet I still think, like, that's not what the world looks like, or that's not only what the world looks like. So expanding ideas, you know, learning, bringing in more of an Eastern philosophy, exploring folklore from around the world and saying, like, what can we learn by looking more at folklore and fairy tales, and how can we apply that or ask questions based on that within paranormal research? And then beyond that, like, you know, I just try to connect the dots. I try to see this connective tissue between a lot of different areas and pull those together. And us, you know, I guess also just to acknowledge that we don't really know what the hell's going on. Everything is theory. So don't try to show up being cocky about it.
Yeah, and that's one good thing about this, like, coming to convention, that you meet so many people.
Yeah.
That have different theories, and it's like you can actually take all the theories, mold them together, and you learn so much just by, like you said, talking to people and getting to know them.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's so great about this stuff.
And I like to think I'm pretty well read on stories, on folklore, on theories, on phenomena, and yet there's books here that I'm like, oh, I got to make certain to get that because I didn't know about that thing, and
mm-hmm.
I can learn more. Or even, like, you know, your table next to you is Jeff Belanger. Well, I've known Jeff for years and I respect the hell out of his work, but even, you know, hanging out socially, you know, after the event closes for the night, chatting about what he's researching and learning about something entirely new and mind-blowing, or John Tenney, like, you know, this excites me. Yeah, proudly, you know, we're like kindred spirits, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So
yeah.
I appreciate the weirdness.
Yeah, totally. So tell us a little bit about the process of hosting a show. Like, what would be like the normal day? Would you be taping for a certain amount of time, certain
right.
amount of days? How's that roll?
Well, so right now I'm a hired gun. I'm a host for hire. So I do a lot of different productions, both paranormal and nerdy and travel stuff. So I do a lot of different stuff right this second. It is, of course, different when you're a series regular and you're hosting a show, because the process is, you know, you know, you go to a, every production is different, but, you know, you might go to report to set, and of course you got to go through makeup and everything, you do some rehearsals, but hopefully you can knock out a couple episodes in one day, depending on the format, depending on the length. But really, I mean, there's a lot of the behind the scenes technical components which are important, working with great producers, working with a great crew, like all that stuff makes for a good product. For me, I just try to know more than I could ever reasonably use on during a shot, during a shoot, you know, because I want to be researched. I want to know what I'm talking about, and have more ammunition than I could ever use, you know. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's, you know, from being an outsider, and we watched all of the shows, you know, that are on, you know, I always come from a writer's perspective and a screenwriter's perspective. I like to know the backstory, like what goes on behind the scenes to make a show come together. You know,
how is the sausage made?
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, it's 30 minutes. You're watching 30 minutes, but that could be a, you know, a week's worth of filming. People are on set for 18 hours. Yeah. You know, it's not as easy as it looks, right?
Well, and there is, yeah, there's certainly, I mean, I tell everyone out there, as a fan myself, like, you know, I watch the shows and I want to get absorbed in the reality of that show for that, you know, whether it's 30 minutes or an hour or whatever. But, you know, but we always have to keep in mind that it is an entertainment property. You know, it's not a educational course on how to be a paranormal investigator, or how to do XYZ. It's like we're learning, we're on a journey for entertainment value, and we can learn something, but we still have to keep in mind, like, there's edits happening. There's, as you said, what looks like one investigation for one night is probably taking a week to film. So, and everywhere's different, you know, like with Paranormal Lockdown, I know Nick and Katrina really did, you know, they were confined to, what was it, like, you know, 36 or 48 hours in on a location, you know, they kept to that. But yeah, there is so much more that's happening behind the scenes. So I just try to tell people, like, whatever job you do, if someone makes a TV show about your job, it's not going to be a mirror reflection of your, mm-hmm. of your day job, you know, like, it's going to get to the sexy bits, you know.
Right,
the
I was fun, like, that would be
fun
boring.
Parts. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because like you said, it is entertainment. And if it was, like you mentioned about coming to a job, you know, we have real jobs. People come to, they're not going to videotape that because it's not exciting.
Yeah, nobody wants to see me being a credit manager for right. 40 hours a week.
Right, well, or even like, you know, me writing, like, you know, I love writing. I love doing deep dive research, but I'll tell you what, I would not want someone to film me researching something because, you know, I'm pouring through books, I'm on the computer, but I'm also like walking around talking to myself with a bottomless cup of coffee
right,
and then
right.
eating way too many Cheez-Its, you know, shoveling those in my mouth.
But a lot
yes,
of these shows,
life a writer.
You know, you can tell that the passion and the chemistry that's on the show leads up to that because, like we said, they spend hours on set to make a 30-minute show, but it really comes out that you can tell the ones that really are passionate about their craft.
Yeah, and, I would agree with that.
Yeah, and it's like, my mind just went blank.
you're thinking of a
yeah,
particular show?
Yeah, Kindred Spirits, what the heck?
Yeah, Amy
Adam,
and Adam.
Adam
yeah.
yeah. Like, Amy and Adam, I watched that show, and you can tell that they love their, and then, you know, you meet them in person, they're the same people.
Yeah.
You know, they love the passion of the paranormal, and it comes out in their show.
Yeah, I agree. And that's really what makes some shows better than others, mm-hmm. that they are legitimate friends.
Yeah.
And they do have that chemistry and dynamic, and that really pops on screen, as opposed to just, and not that I think there's necessarily anything wrong with just casting a team.
Mm-hmm.
That does happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, it does add an extra level of reality when it is people that get along with one another and have known one another for a long time.
And as an audience, the audience feels like they're a part of that because of that.
Yeah. But, you know, they do that for movies, too. Like, mm-hmm. A lot of times you can tell with films if they've sent a cast to some sort of, like, boot camp together to build that chemistry and camaraderie. Yeah. you know, a lot of that comes through in a movie as well. So I think it is important that realism that comes through.
Are you writing anything currently? Are you working on anything?
Well, I'm always writing. So I'm a contributing author to a book that is out now. It's called The Psychology of Joker, or maybe it's Joker Psychology. And there's a subtitle about, which I now eludes me, about the crazy clown and women who love him, I think. But basically, it's a psychology book about the Joker from the Batman and DC Comics world. So I have a couple works in that explore his psychology. And then also, like, as a journalist, I'm always researching things, like most recently the folkloric and entertainment evolution of genies and djinn, and that was kind of connected to the recent Aladdin movie. Or I've got a deep dive on the haunting of Hill House and sort of the paranormal reality behind that, or paranormal theories behind that. Haunted dolls, some extra research. Oh, and then I just did a big piece about urban legends and why popular urban legends continue to exist and what they are kind of tapping into on a sociological and psychological level with humans. And really follow my social media feeds, and I'm always chit-chatting about the various stuff I'm working on.
I follow you on Twitter.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So you mentioned that the sociological kind of like acceptance of legends and lores. Do you feel like having more paranormal shows, more monster shows, mystery type shows have opened up people's acceptance more so due to these type of shows? Or do you think we're just, that generally humans are just moving in the direction of just being more open and to other realms and more spiritual or unexplained things?
I would say that it's cyclical. We always, throughout history, we have times. Oh, it never goes away. Right. Ghost stories, legends, folklore, they never go away. But it does seem to be that there's ebb and flow of when these things become more popular, and then when they start to fade away again. And it tends to coincide with big moments in human history, or either times of tragedy or stress or duress, But as far as the reality component, well, even within that particular thing, everything old is new again, and everything. I mean, and look, we're right now in this big resurgence of paranormal TV. Well, that's not going to last, and that's not me disrespecting anyone's work, but it'll fade from popularity again, and then there'll be less, and then give it a few years and it'll come back. But to your point, I hope so. I always hope we're moving forward. I always hope we're evolving and becoming more accepting and moving forward. But I just don't necessarily think the reality TV popularity right now reflects that. It's just, it's another symptom of, like, culture moving forward, that. I think that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I know Joe likes to ask this question, but okay. I don't know if he thought of it. But like, what was your biggest bleep moment when you were maybe doing research or on one of these locations? Or what was your biggest crap moment? Like, did something scare you or something surprise you? Or
that's a good question.
Amaze
so
you?
Do you mean behind the scenes before I'm actually on a location, or something that when I'm actually on a location and discover something?
Probably on location.
On location.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably, I'm going to go back to Eastern State Penitentiary and finding out, probably because that's the location that is sort of like my second home. Okay. As far as my haunted home, I guess. I go there a lot and work a lot with them. But, and I live in New York City and they're in Philly, so it's basically next door neighbors. But having gone there and had an experience of what I felt like was unease, threatening, like just not a very comfortable experience in a certain part of the prison, and then later finding out that I believe one of the prisoners that was kept there was incredibly violent and had a track record of some pretty ugly things, and it's I don't want to say the name of the prisoner because finding out that there was a connection in that particular space that unsettled me. It felt like a connective tissue, and it's weirdly validating. Mm-hmm. Because it allows you to trust your instincts a little bit.
Definitely.
But I don't know, like I'm on the research side, I'm constantly having a oh crap moment of learning things that I didn't know before, and it opening up this whole new world and this doorway to all these other things that
it's
I
like
want to explore.
Holes.
Yeah.
That's so tough too, because you're trying to stay focused on one thing. Like my research with the Indian burial mounds
led
me into learning about giants and all this. And it's just like you got to pull yourself back in and stay on the path that you want to stay on to finish that either book or whatever, you know.
It's so cool. I mean, like, the people out there can't see this, but I'm wearing like a tiki shirt. I'm a big fan of tiki culture. Mm-hmm. And even finding out, like, going to this tiki bar in Fort Lauderdale, I believe it's called Maikai, if anyone wants to go down there. It's a great place. Going down there and having like a sensation, and not I'm not psychic, I'm not sensitive, mm-hmm. or anything, but just like there's a weird vibe in one spot. And then to find out, like, oh, well, they actually have a lot of paranormal activity. And why do they have that paranormal activity? Well, I don't know, but the theory is that they've, in the early days, it goes back to the 1950s or 1960s, that particular bar, they brought in a lot of elements from other places, from other cultures, Polynesian cultures. So those places don't belong in that tiki bar. I mean, to quote Indiana Jones, that belongs in a museum.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had, like, you know, in theory, attachments to those mm-hmm. items. So they were having a lot of cool stuff going on.
Do you own any haunted objects? I just want to know. Like, do you collect anything from your travels?
I do collect things from my travels. I don't actively seek out haunted objects. Okay. I'll pick up spirit boards. And then, I mean, I live in Brooklyn in New York City, so space is somewhat limited. But I tend to collect tiki mugs for my travels. A couple years ago, I decided to find tiki bars in every location in every country
nice.
I go to.
Oh,
so
cool.
I very much collect those. But the haunted objects, like, I think they're cool. And, you know, I look at John Zaffis' collection from his cases, mm-hmm. and I'm astounded. But I personally, it's not part of my collection. How about you guys? Do you collect stuff?
Not really.
No.
I don't want to have it in my house. Yeah. Like, I want to be able to sleep at night. I've already seen some, like, creepy clowns showing up in my bedroom. Like, no.
You have seen that?
Well, yeah. I've had full body apparition in my house.
Right.
I saw a full body apparition in Mansfield.
Okay.
And then I woke up one night and there was, like, a creepy clown apparition standing over my bed.
Wow, that's a hell of an apparition. I will say, Ohio, you're talking about Ohio State.
I tell a lie. I have a bullet from Gettysburg in my house. That's it.
I think I've had that. I don't know if I have one now. I may have given that away. But I had one of those.
Amazing,
like,
place,
then,
huh?
Yeah. Rather and then more. Were you referencing OSR? That place is great. It's been way too long since I've been there. It's been a couple of years. But I love, when I say love, I really respect the history and that structure.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much to it. And you feel the history. It's like when you go to Gettysburg, you physically feel the history when you're in a place like that. It's incredible.
And that's...
You feel history, you feel...
Yeah. That's my favorite part about all this is, like, there is the unexplained element to it, but the paranormal community is so good about supporting historic locations,
uh-huh.
and ghost stories, they keep history alive. It's really easy for us, as we have a lot going on in our lives and there's a lot going on day to day on the global perspective. Ghost stories are a way for us to tell those stories and keep that history alive, mm-hmm. and I find that an incredibly important part about this area.
Especially having this media, having a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, we are recording history right now, you know, like, remember that time that we interviewed Aaron?
Yeah, I'm pretty certain I'm a footnote in that history, but I appreciate you saying that.
No, just on a side note, I don't know if you ever get back down to Florida, have you ever heard of the world's largest tiki bar?
In Florida?
Yes. We stopped there one time, and it was amazing. They had their own beach. So I'm just giving you a heads up.
What's the name
of
it?
Yeah, where's it located?
It's called the World's Largest Tiki Bar.
The World's Largest?
I think it is.
Yeah, what town?
I want to say it's close to Fort Myers, but don't quote me on that. I'll find out and I'll email it to you.
I've been to many, and there are so many more that I need to go to. But I'm originally from Orlando.
Oh, okay.
So I'm down in Florida a fair amount for both work from the nerdy journalism writing element, but also to see family. So it's a good bet that I'm going to go look for the world's largest tiki bar. I don't think I've been there.
Like, you live in New York, you live in, you know, the largest city in America, and then you come to someplace desolate as Sault Ste. Marie. Now, hopefully you'll be able to get out, because I noticed, like, just being in this town, it's so quiet.
Yeah.
Like, if you just walk around outside, you can just, it's so quiet here, you know, it's incredible.
I love it. I mean, I'm so fortunate that I get to travel to so many locations, and every location has a different personality and something to explore. I won't say that I've spent a lot of time in the downtown Sault Ste. Marie area, but I walked around a couple times just escaping and taking like an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
It's so charming, and it's and you know, as we're recording this, the temperature is just lovely. It's so nice outside. So it's a really cool place. I love New York. New York is a great place, and I basically was raised in a theme park playground in Orlando, but it's a big world out there, and I'm fortunate to explore it and to meet folks like you along the way.
Great. Well, you know, we really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule.
Not at all. I don't want to lie. Share. My schedule is not that busy right now, so I'm happy to be chatting with you guys.
Yeah, and you know, being able to come to these conventions, it's important, because, you know, a lot of people see, you know, hosts and celebrities on the TV, and they're able to come in touch and see people in person and learn from. So really appreciate you, you know, being here.
Well,
and
thank
taking
you.
The time to come out. And
I am not a celebrity. I'm just a guy who works and is lucky to work and do this stuff. But and I appreciate you guys taking the time to speak with me and asking excellent questions.
Right. And is your website still?
Yeah. Up? So okay.
Yeah, tell everybody where they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, you guys can find me at paranormalpopculture.com. You can also find me at aaronsagers.com. And then I encourage everyone to reach out to me on social media. Say hi. I'm at Aaron Sagers on Twitter, on Instagram, and also on Facebook. I think the Aaron Sagers or Aaron Sagers page on Facebook. But yeah, please say hi. And also, when you reach out, let me know that you heard me on this podcast.
Hey.
So I can share some love with
golf
these guys
clap.
Again. Yeah.
And I did get a chance to check out your website, and there's some really good articles on all
thank
kinds
you so
of
much.
Pop
yeah.
culture and the paranormal.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So thanks
that.
For coming on, and you're welcome on anytime.
Anytime
we see you, we'll wrangle you up and have
you guys
fun
give
again.
Me a call. I'm there.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was awesome. It was so nice meeting him.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. So speaking of cool dudes and ladies, Joe and I really wanted to just give a great big shout out and thank you to some of our corporate sponsors that we have that have generously donated to our Toledo Bigfoot Paranormal Conference.
It's finally here.
It's
folks.
Next week. When you're listening to this, it'll be a week from today. But, you know, just wanted to give a shout out to Dr. John Frankel Dentistry, who graciously donated and is a sponsor of the show. Now, if you guys don't know, Dr. Frankel has been in Toledo for many years. You know, it was originally his father, and then he took over the practice. Joe and I have been going to him for many years.
He's really fixed my teeth. I mean, I neglected my teeth for a long time, and now I have a wire in the back, and I got
beautiful
cadaver
smile,
cadaver gums, and all.
No, you know what's great, and I'm telling you, I've spent a lot of money at that place.
Oh, yeah.
I've had every tooth probably worked. I'm seriously probably had every tooth worked on. I had all the metal fillings taken out. You know, that's important to get that out of your mouth. You don't want to get, like, you know, your K2 going off because of the metal in your mouth, but painless.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're afraid to go to the dentist, don't be. They are so nice and gentle. And if you're sitting in the waiting room and you're nervous, you know, they have bottles of water for you. And
the
and
last time I was there was a masseuse.
Really?
Sitting there giving massages.
I need to be there then because, you know, I love a massage. But, you know, I've gone there and needed to, you know, work around my work schedule, and they really accommodate me. I must have had to reschedule 20 times, you know, with dad's cancer treatments, and they never gave me a hard time about it at all. And they send you text reminders to remind you that your appointment's coming up so you don't forget, which is great for somebody busy like Joe and myself, because we are traveling so much, and they really, you know, I get my teeth cleaned at 7:30 in the morning and then I go into work. So check them out, Dr. Frankel. They're on Lasky and Talmadge, and then they also have a location out at Maumee. And
Maumee.
I was every time I just never forget Bubba saying Maumee, Maumee. And so, you know, just thank you so much for supporting what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you need a dentist, call them up. They'll work with you. They take all different kinds of insurance. You know, I've had my insurance change a couple times, and it's been seamless. So, Dr. Frankel, 419-474-9611.
You know it?
Yes, I do. Know it by heart, actually, how many times I've had to call. But if you want to, you can come look at my mouth, Joe. They want to see they fix my front tooth, which I had been embarrassed about for many years, but now it's pretty. Oh, then.
Yeah, and also we have something really exciting for the first 300 people through
so
the door.
Excited!
Fuzzy Tacos gave us free tacos.
Yeah, so everybody who comes in the door, the first 300 people in the door is going to get a coupon for a free Baja Taco from Fuzzy Tacos. I know it's weird to say. It probably doesn't sound right, but it's Fuzzy's Taco. So the guy's name
is
Fuzzy's, I think. No, it's Fuzzy.
Fuzzy Taco.
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. Fuzzy Wuzzy had no hair. And I don't forget the rest.
Okay.
But I remember I had Fuzzy Wuzzy soap when I was little. But if you guys haven't been to Fuzzy Tacos, it's so good. Oh my God. Joe and I ate there one time, and I was just like, it's so delish. It's over at Central and Secor. It's back where, you know, where Arnie's used to be, the old Arnie's. I don't know if the
a lot of listeners won't know.
Yeah, I know. But anyways, so it's back. It's at Secor and Central in Toledo, Ohio here. It's not too far from where our convention's going to be.
So, everybody that comes there, get your taco, head down to Fuzzy Tacos.
So, you know, it's really yummy. They're, you know, Joe and I travel a lot. And we like to eat because we're foodies. And we're chubby babies, but at least I am.
I am too.
But they have really, really thin tortilla chips, and then you can get like nachos, and they have fish tacos, and you know, they have a full bar there, but it is a restaurant. You can sit on the patio, which is really nice, and it's not that expensive. You know, $6-7, you can have a nice meal. So Fuzzy Tacos, one of our
first 300 people in the door get free tacos.
So
tacos for you. Tacos for you.
Taco, 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 taco.
Some of the other sponsors that we want to thank: Arnie's Aaron, Seven Little Cupcakes, Russ's Car Wash, Chili's, Texas Roadhouse, Dead in Five, which music you hear on all our shows.
Yes, for sure.
The Lovely Monkey Tattoo Shop and the Lucky Monkey Tattoo Shop, both of them in the Ann Arbor area.
Yeah, so definitely if you're looking for some new ink and you're in Michigan or want to travel to Michigan, those are the places to go. They are amazing, and they have amazing artists too.
And come to our show and you'll be able to meet Dana Forster and James Trunkle from the band Dead in Five. And if you want to talk tattoos, they're the ones to talk to.
Yep, so music, tattoos, Bigfoot.
Yeah.
What more could you ask for, Joe? Maybe a chupacabra.
Chupacabra and a taco.
It was so funny. I was watching TV. I got home from work the other day, and I just flipped on the TV, and guess who I saw right on there talking about chupacabras?
Let me guess. Ken Gerhardt?
Yes, our guest speaker.
He's everywhere.
Yes, so don't forget that we've got four speakers. We have Don Allison, who wrote a book, I Met a Ghost at Gettysburg. We have Shatan Noir, who is talking about Lake Erie cryptids, and she has some really awesome cutouts and like cryptid creatures she's created that you can purchase. They're so cute. You're going to have to buy all of them. And then we have Steve Ward, the Wizard of Weird.
Yes.
As I like to call him, he is a Mothman expert. And he just talks about strange phenomenon. And he does have his own podcast or radio show. I can't remember which it is. Called Strange Something.
Come to the show and ask him.
Yeah. And then, of course, we have the one, the only, Ken Gerhardt.
Ken Gerhardt.
International man of mystery, cryptozoologist, who's going to just be telling us all about strange and unusual cryptids and Bigfoot in particular. So
see you all next weekend at the Toledo Bigfoot and Paranormal Convention.
Please
here in Toledo.
Come out.
$10 at the door.
Yes, you can pay at the door. I know I had a couple people email us asking if tickets were available at the door. Yes, they are. You can come in. If you pre-purchase your tickets on brownpapertickets.com, you're going to get a couple free raffle tickets for our big, huge basket full of Bigfoot and paranormal goodies that we're putting together. But if you also want to buy tickets, you can buy extra tickets when you get there.
There you go.
And get in the raffle.
Yeah.
And win some cool stuff. And we just want to say one
quick thing. Put a ton of stuff into this basket.
Ton of stuff. And Nadine and John from Black Swamp Paranormal donated a ghost meter that's in there as well.
Yeah.
From Ghost Stop. So
from our sponsor Ghost Stop.
Yeah, so we're very excited.
All right, well, speaking about Dead in Five, let's listen to some Devil White Devil by Dead in Five. Came out on their new CD. And like I said, they will be at the show.
Come out, get a CD.
Yeah.
And an autograph.
T-shirts, all that stuff. Stickers.
Yes, we can't wait to see you guys. Please come out and meet us. Let's hang out.
We will see you next weekend.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, Joe.
Goodbye. Inside you.